I was doing out here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bob, I have to say, I am so humbled by you guys because of the fact that
You're continuously there. You're always supporting me and always there. I have Joey, Mary, Starlight. Welcome back. Yes, 9060 and 9111. Love that name. So welcome, everybody. I, like I said, I'm just excited to have everyone here. And I just want to kind of recap the year, see what's going on, what's everybody up to. And supposedly my co-host, yes, Mountain Man's going to be joining me later. Welcome, guest 9139. Glad to have you aboard. Should be joining me, hopefully. So welcome to the chat room. If you have any comments, concerns, questions, just please feel free to type away in the chat room if you're too shy. Or if not, you can call us. Our call-in number is, it is that's the number for me to call myself. Don't want to do that. Call-in number 1-347-989-1473. That is the number that you can reach us here at the studio. Again, 1-347-989-1473. Or you can reach us at www.blocktalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. You can reach us there, listen to the show. If you are out and about on the road and you happen to want to listen to our show but you're not near the internet, you have an iPhone, you can reach us there as well. You can listen, download, and join us there as well. Or if not, if you're really motivated, you can call in the regular number, the 1-347-989-1473 number, and you can actually listen to the show that way as well. If not, you can always listen to us later on. You can go to our website, as I said, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. You can download this show for listening for it later, and you can even listen to some of our back segments that we've had. The other thing that's kind of cool is you can check out the segment page. There's links there to our blog, ordinarywoman.com, and you can see some of the guests that we've had in the past. And we have some exciting guests that are going to be coming up this year that we're looking forward to. So I am just grateful that you're all with me. Going to the chat room. Hold on a sec, because I'm a one-woman show here right now, and I'm checking. Deborah, how are you, sweetie? Happy New Year to you, too. So glad that you're in the chat room and you're up and above. Debbie has been up to a lot of really exciting things. She's working behind a couple of great artists, Amanda McCarthy being one of them, just to mention one, and she's involved in all kinds of promotion, and we're kind of like the voice of darkness. We're up at on Facebook late at night just promoting and reaching out for people, and anything that's good and talented, we will definitely be there to support it, promote it, and we don't get paid for that. That's just the fun part for us, to help people. So, yes, I'm so glad to see Deborah in the house. Also wanted to let you guys know that we have talked about expanding the show hours before, as far as having it on more than just once a week. As some of you know, one of the things in 2010 was had a family illness that kind of kept me traveling back and forth. That's why we actually wind up putting the show on hiatus, just because of the logistics and stuff. Luckily, that situation is going along very well, and things are looking up, so we're going to be able to get back to our schedule on our show. We have a lot of really amazing guests that we are lining up, and we keep lining up, and I'm looking forward to that. One of the things I Debbie, you're sweet. One of the things that I want to make sure you guys know, if you know of any up-and-coming artists that have independent music that they own the rights to, radio-friendly, of course, please, please, please have them contact me, ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com, or here on Blog Talk Radio, and I will be more than glad to have the music played on our radio show. If you send them to me, make sure it's an MP3 or a waveform, and that it's, that way I can download it and we can actually play it and put it into the regular rotation. And the things I also like to do is, if you're going to send me the music, then I'm going to have you on the show. Very important to me. I want people to know who you are, what you're about, and kind of tell us the story behind the music. Because I know, being around artists, they all have a story behind their songs. A lot of it is personal. A lot of it is maybe thoughts they had, ideas they heard. But there's always a story behind every song, and I think it's kind of cool when your artists share that with you. Now, the other thing is, too, a lot of people think that my show is just about music artists. It is not. It is not. We go the wide spectrum. For example, if you're an actor or an actress, if you're a comedian, if you are a writer or if you are a teacher, a mentor, whatever you happen to be, I really believe, which is the premise of our show, Diamond in the Rough, is that everybody has an amazing story to tell. Some people don't realize it because they've never been asked. Well, I'm asking, what is your story? You're a homemaker. If you're a student, I don't care who you are, what you are, everybody has a story. And if you think you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can reach us again, ordinarywoman@gmail.com. Hit us up and we'll talk to you, see what segment dates we have available, and definitely see if we can get you on the show, because I think that would be an amazing thing to do. And on to that, see, this is funny. I am going back and forth between pages, so I keep losing my switchboard. Because my man's not here right now. Anyway, so one of the things I wanted to do, I have the song. Jenna Donovan is actually going to be getting me some new music that she just did a song that I absolutely love. She wound up doing a song with Sacrifice and Situ. You know them. We've had them on the show before. And it's just an amazing song. And it was kind of funny because the story behind it is they actually had the opportunity to get into the studio because Sacrifice has to travel from Pennsylvania because that's where his home is. So for them to actually get into the studio, it can be very, very tricky logistically speaking. So they were all kind of like the stars had aligned. Got into the studio. They had this amazing beat that they got from Brady over at Surefire. And it was amazing to know that this song was literally written in less than half an hour. And when you guys hear it, you're going to sit there and go, wow, it's talk about inspiration and just how amazing it is, and the stuff that comes out when there's passion and there's just motivation behind it. But in the meantime, I always want to play this song by Jenna because it just, I love it. It's just something that we need to hear, especially now with some of our young women, as you know. Everybody makes a resolution New Year's, and I'm going to talk about this because I'm a little, like, this is like my little pet peeve. Everybody makes resolutions on New Year's Eve because it's going to be for the New Year. Who are you lying to? You know you have absolutely no intention of keeping that New Year resolution. And I'm not being negative. I know our show is meant to be positive, but I know I've done it years ago, and everybody does. I'm gonna go work out. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this, do that. Come on, people. If you were serious about it, you would have been working on it all year round. And the only reason I bring that up is because that's my point exactly. For example, when I go to the gym, January is really a bad month for people to work out. And those of you that do work out regularly know exactly where I'm coming from. You go to the gym like the first 2 to 3 weeks in January, and you are lucky if you can get in because it's packed. There's all these people, and you can see the new sneakers and the new workout gear and all this great equipment. And they're there. They're going to work out. They're working on their resolutions. Sometime around mid-February, us regular people that work out or us regular people that go to the gym sporadically, but we still go, realize all the newbies are gone. Maybe 2, 3, or 4 have stuck it out, but for the most part, everybody else is gone because the resolution has run its course and we're pretty much done with it. So that's where I come in because the reality is, guys, every day is the beginning of a new year. Because the reality is today is Saturday. If it wasn't New Year's, if it was March 5th, there's still going to be 365 days to follow. So the reality is we do not have to wait till December 31st to make a resolution. We can do that every single day of the year. We can. So, for example, if we do decide we want to lose weight or work out, and we're one of these people that disappears in February, then guess what? We can go back to it in March or April or May or June or whatever. You can recommit to that. And that's one of the premises about our show, trying to get people in here that have done things that might seem out of the ordinary, but when you look at them, they're really no more different than the rest of us. They're really not. Like Debbie, I'll pick on Debbie because I know she's out there in cyberspace listening. If you look at Debbie, she's a dynamo. I got to admit that. But you look at her, she's this little tiny peanut, and you look at her, I have to tell you, when I saw video footage of Debbie dancing, I went, oh, my God. Because, honestly, I misjudged Debbie. I saw Debbie as this dynamo promoter and this amazing personality and everything. But Dancer didn't cross my mind because I wasn't looking at her from that point of view. When I saw the video of her dancing, it blew my socks off and definitely showed me that I need to learn from my own lessons, because you can never judge a book by its cover. She absolutely blew my mind. She's amazing, and her nephew, Anthony, is also an amazing dancer, which we've been trying to get him on the show, but our schedules have been conflicting. And it's funny because I remember her making the comment, oh, I taught him most of his dance moves, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I would say about my kids. No, this lady literally did teach him a lot of the dance moves because she knows how to do them. She did them herself. So there it goes to show that you never know what people are doing, like average people that you see every day in life, and you might be amazed to see what talents they have, which is why our show is not limited to famous people. Yes, we've had famous people. We've had published authors. We had J.G. Annone, who's doing some amazing things out in Hollywood and who produced, wrote, and directed his own movie and did a great job with it, got some great reviews. But that's not what we're about. We're about the average person. Natalie Gerardo from Florida, she's one of my ordinary people because of the fact that you look at her and you're like, okay, she's this stay-at-home mom, she's got these kids, goes way beyond that. For those of you that heard her on our show, she is a dynamo. She's involved in all her school, her kids' school activities. She hand makes amazing things. She knits, she crochets, she bakes, she cooks, she does everything. And you see her and you say, this woman never runs out of energy. But that's not the case. As she shared on the show, she was diagnosed with lupus a few years back. And honestly, she makes healthy people. She puts them to shame because she overcomes, improvises, and has just done an amazing thing. And I think it's funny because when she discussed about her downtime, the times that she's not feeling well, the times that she's literally bedridden where she has to actually take bed rest for a couple of days, you think she's just sitting there watching soap operas? No, not my woman. She's over there knitting and crocheting, and that's what she does. She makes these amazing creations that she sells on Etsy. She has her own store there. You can check her out, Kathy's daughter. Amazing stuff that she makes there. And, again, it's all about how much we put into the day and what we do with what we're handed. So with that, we're going to play this song for you guys. I hope you enjoy it. I'm playing all the oldies that we played last year. They were the favorites, the ones people kept asking for. So this is one of them. And this is Picture Perfect by Jenna Donovan. And it was produced and the beat was created by L.A. Fresh.
Can we get some more makeup on her?
I don't think I need
Jenna,
anymore.
I need to suck it in.
I don't. I
Jenna, suck it in.
Okay.
Just don't worry about it. We'll Photoshop it out.
But I don't want you to Photoshop it out.
Different girls, same face, page after page.
Beauty queen, I know I like you, I need you.
more makeup. I'm fine the way I am.
And we're back. And that was Jennifer Donovan with Picture Perfect, and that was produced and the beat was created by LA Fresh. And we have a caller. I'm so excited. Anytime I get a caller, it's like, woo-hoo! I actually have a live body in the audience. Not that you're not alive, Debbie, and everybody else that's in my chat room, but y'all know what I mean. So hold on. Go over here, see if I don't disconnect this person. And hello.
Yeah, it's Charlotte.
Hi, how are you?
World out there, you could take a guess.
Hold on, I keep losing you. Hold on. There we go. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, hello. Happy 2011, Charlie.
Oh, my God, as I live and breathe. How are you? I cannot believe you called in.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
I feel so special.
Charlie, you're always special. What can I say? You're like the dime doll out of a quarter.
I love it. He said quarter. I love it. For those of you that don't know who this is, yeah, I mean, you'd have to be under a rock. So, Jay, honey, what are you up to?
This ain't Jay.
Who is this?
This is the undisputed king of the entire mountaintop of the entertainment industry, known today as Crosby Tatum of Triceptor Studios.
I love it. Hi, Crosby, honey. How are you?
I am doing good,
Jay. I have Jay on the other line. I'm sorry. I picked the wrong line. I have two callers, and I actually have Jay on the other line. And I, God, you got me sick. Crosby, what are you up to, babe? I heard you got your ass whooped, but in a good way.
No. See, now, if there was any ass whooping that was going on, it was basically handled by me. I just took my lumps and kept going.
I tell you, you never stop amazing me. Now, you got to tell our listeners, what have you been up to, and actually explain to them why you got your ass whooped in a good way.
Okay. I haven't had my ass whooped, but actually recently, basically, I just got into mixed martial arts, basically MMA, and quite possibly it's actually been a life-changing experience. First and foremost, I gotta shout out to my people at Best Way Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Mixed Martial Arts Academy in Quincy, Massachusetts, Kenny Kwan, the co-on over there, Joe Wu, the MMA instructor, everybody, crew Mark, you know, saying Amato, you know, saying Big Mike, all y'all cats out there, Justin, you know, saying
uh-huh.
They. It's really a unique experience when you start to learn mixed martial arts, and you couple that with the filmmaking and the time and dedication and things that you had to get to, you know, really be at the top of the mountaintop in terms of mixed martial arts, and you'll find it's a unique experience. And plus, with Laz being a boxer, I think, okay, let me top him real quick.
You guys are so funny because I find it amazing how you guys have this dynamics where you guys work together so much. You create some amazing projects. But I love the fact of how competitive you guys are, but that doesn't affect your relationship. And I think that's awesome because you guys have channeled it in such a way that it's actually positive and actually adds to the dynamics of your relationship.
Oh, yeah. Me and Laz, for those who don't know, Laz J. Holland, who's the other half of Triceptor Studios, co-executive producer president, we're always competitive with each other. He's always saying, like, dude, I could beat you, and I tell him, oh, I could beat you right back. So
I love it.
We throw hands a couple of times, so that's another story.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now, I got to ask you this question. So he was a boxer, had been doing this for a while, or...
What's that?
And all of a sudden, you got up one morning and said, well, he's a boxer, so I'm going to go do MMA. That's not something you kind of decide off the spur of the moment. How did that happen?
It was a couple of things that really came into that situation where it was pretty much what happened one day was, like, when I was working out, I committed myself to lose weight and to really, you know, have a better self because my body at that time was not, you know, it was there, but it was like, I need something to take me to the next level. And I don't particularly like boxing training that much. You know,
right.
I consider myself that, like, hey, if I was to get into an ugly situation, I'm going to, you know, I like, you know, going to the ground a little bit instead of throwing hands.
You're like me. I'm going to scratch, kick, and bite like a girl and then run. Yeah, go ahead.
so, So uniquely, I said, okay, let me just try mixed martial arts since, like, you know, it's a combination of so many different styles. You got boxing, you got wrestling, you got Brazilian jiu-jitsu or regular jiu-jitsu, you got taekwondo, mm-hmm. you got Muay Thai, you got judo. You got so many things, and you have to combine it into just make yourself a well-round competitor. And I'll be
right.
honest, I don't like to fight, but I like to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing
right.
that, like, really, in fact, my trainer, Kenny, said, basically, whatever it is you're doing, whatever it's fighting, whatever it's, you know, being in the entertainment industry, you're going to fight no matter what. So, you know,
right.
it's one of the bigger lessons I learned since training is that you're fighting, you know, saying to have existence for what you're doing. And ultimately, I'm always going to be a film producer, director, an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Laz, we're always going to do those things no matter what. Because that's our love. That's our passion.
That's funny that you mentioned that because I want to stop you right there because that is a very deep point. Like, a lot of people really have a misconception. They think when you are a boxer or you do martial arts or MMA, they think that it's because, oh, it's this ghetto person that just wants to fight all the time and get into fights. You know what? You hit on such an important point that whenever you decide to do anything that's out of the norm, you do have to have a fighter mentality. And what better way to get that than to actually train on the physical aspect of being a fighter and then applying that to your mental capacity when you're forging ahead? Because everybody knows, if being in the industry, in the entertainment industry or a singer, dancer, whatever, writer, homemaker, if it was easy, everybody would do it, but it's not easy, and the reality is it comes down to your mental fortitude to be able to do that. So that is such an amazing teaching point that you just talked about being able to apply what you've learned as a fighter physically to your mentality in the entertainment industry. I mean, that is such an amazing concept. It just blows my mind because it's so deep, and yet you kind of sit there and go, oh, that's common sense kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
it's my outlook on it, you know. Or I don't
mm-hmm.
know. There's so many other people who have different outlooks on it, whether it's like the fighter who just says, you know, saying, I just want to whip, you know, whip button or anything like that. But with me, I'm always going to compete against everybody and anything because I just want to make sure that I'm the best, that there's no one above me, there's no one below me, I am at the top, and that everything that is in my way, it goes through me. You know, that's my mentality every single day of my life.
You know, that is very strong, and that is a testament to how and why you've been able to accomplish some of the things you've accomplished. So I'm so excited about what you guys did in 2010, and I can only imagine what you got for 2011, and I definitely want to cover as much of it as we can.
It's big. It's major. In fact,
oh my gosh.
And Charlie, just for a few seconds, I just want to have, if I got the floor a little bit, I just want to say 2011 will be the year of the try this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have exciting projects on the way from Tricepta Studios Music. We have exciting projects in terms of the film style of our first feature film that we decided what we're going to do this year. We will make
mm-hmm.
a feature film. We are going to have a couple EP projects from our artists, Envy and Miss Smith. And we are going to have a feature film. It will be a romantic comedy called Surprise, Surprise that will be out in 2012. So, and then we might have a big star attached to it, and we will shoot in Massachusetts.
That is awesome. I mean, you see, that's what I'm talking about. It's just, that's why I'm so passionate about all the talent that we have in this area, because of the fact that it just blows my mind. It's like, you look at now in the movie theaters, of course, we have these movies. We had all these movies that were filmed in Massachusetts and came out. We have Fighter, which has been kicking butt. And I'm very passionate about the Fighter because that's kind of like that hard, scrappy kind of thing. You know, the movie almost wasn't made. And, you know, everybody kept telling Mark E. Wahlberg, you know, give it up. It's just a simple story about some fighter from Lowell. No one really cares kind of thing. Yeah, it's a good story, but and then you see what happens. He stuck with it, and now the movie getting rave reviews. It's getting, you know, all kinds of award nominations and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a testament to our breed here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and honestly, in fact, I was actually when I was going on when I was doing another project, I was on my way to the radio, and Irish Mickey Ward actually on a radio show, he was being interviewed by Fox Sports. He was, they said that basically that he didn't even think the movie would be made, and yet it's being made, and they're even considering it for an Oscar. For an Academy Award, and it really it just goes to a testament of how the entertainment industry is forging in terms of, hey, doesn't matter where we're shooting it, as long as it's a story, it's a great story, and people are willing to do it, and that there's no roadblocks when you're trying to make something happen. You're just going out there and you're just going to do it no matter what. And personally, that's the mentality I've taken on recently. It's just whatever's in my way, I'm going through it because I see something that I know I can get. And I think for anybody in 2011, if you have something that you're going to go through that's in your way, you go right through it like, you know, a truck and just like, you know, smash that whatever's in your way and just go and get what you want.
You know, that is so true because talking back on the fighter, I'm from Lowell. And I actually know Mickey Ward and Vicki Eklund and them. The thing that got me is, like, I remember hearing about this probably good 8-9 years ago when, you know, the whole thing came up with, you know, I remember watching the Gotti fights, and that's actually what put Mickey on the map. Oh, my God, talk about chills. And then so I've kind of been on the groundwork knowing. I remember my boys said, you know, we want to write a song for Mickey because we think, you know, it's a great story, and they did. And their whole thing was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if it could be in the movie? But everybody kept saying to me, you know, there's just too many obstacles. You know, they had a director come on. He got left. They had Brad Pitt. And then, you know, all these other people that were attached to the project, they left because of language. But it goes to show the tenacity. And not for nothing, I mean no disrespect to Mr. Brad Pitt or any of the other people involved, but what I loved was, and this is very true, and anybody that's from Massachusetts can attest to that, there is a tenacity to people from this area, a can-do, never-give-up, you know, kind of mentality that is very inbred in Mark Wahlberg, and that's why he said, I'm not giving up on this project. I'm going to see it to the end. And like you said, it's been considered for an Oscar. And that's something that I see over and over again in people from this area, including yourself, that it just makes me so proud to be from this area. And I have to share this real quick. We were at the movie theater watching the movie The Fighter, and it sends chills because just before the credits started rolling, before it started, someone shouted out, isn't it great to be from Lowell? And like it is, we're all clapping and cheering. But it was such a poignant moment because it's so amazing for me, not only to be from Lowell, but from Massachusetts, and to see the kind of people that we have here. Now, you are talking about what, you know, you guys are going to be doing in 2011, which I'm so excited about. But can you tell our listeners some of the stuff that you actually accomplished in 2010?
Yes. We basically came out with actually another music video from Laz and Cat, Tri-City Volume 1. If anyone doesn't know, Laz and Cat, we basically it was the first artist under Tricepta Studios Music. We basically spent an entire year producing our debut album, Tri-City Volume 1. And we basically we shot another music video for the album, Fancy Girl, that received over 3,000 video hits within 2 months. Actually, not even 2 months, almost like a month for that matter. Which
right, and now, real quick, let me interrupt you right there. Mm-hmm. And that is with minimal PR, as far as you guys paying for it to be promoted. It was mostly word of mouth kind of thing. So for those of you that do PR promotion, that's huge. That is really huge because we're talking basically about people going, oh, this video is hot, did you hear it, and having their friend listening to it, and so on and so forth. So that's going to be an indication of the talent and the quality of the video that you guys did.
Yeah, well, actually, we did have a PR person hook us up, but
right.
her name is Gail Rosenberg, Web and Retail. Please check them out and tell them Tricepta Studio sent you to them. She'll definitely hook you up and promote the heck out of you guys. In fact, she was working with the guy from House. What's his name?
Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. He has a band, and she basically done some of his PR work as well. So.
That's awesome.
Definitely work with Web and Retail. They'll definitely hook you up and tell them Tricepta sent you, and they'll give you a free rate too. All right, guys? But besides all that.
I love that. That's No, hey, I got to remember that. Now, what is some of the other, now, you guys did the episode for your show. What was the name of it again?
We were working on some sketches with the Block Presents, and basically we were trying to procure some financing for All for One, our female-driven sitcom. And basically what we decided to do was we decided to hold off on our plans, like trying to do things at the end of 2010, and we decided, okay, we know what we want to do. We have the tools. We have the avenues where it's going to be seen. We just got to do it. And we decided we're going to start doing it in 2011 because we feel that, you know, with this year, with the resources, the materials, what we have here, we have a surefire chance to dominate the entertainment landscape in terms of creating innovative, concept-driven content that you can laugh, you can cry, you can smile, you can just do many, you can do whatever you want to do, really, with Tricepta Studios. Love us, hate us, it doesn't matter. As long as you're being entertained, that's really all that counts.
Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, what was the inspiration behind you guys getting started in doing that segment, that show?
With All for One, correct?
Mm-hmm.
2005, really, as we look at it, it's a really pivotal year for us. Me and Laz, we were talking about, like, different concepts and ideas we want to do, movies.
Mm-hmm.
Television, film. We decided we need to do a bunch of things. Off when it came from a conversation when I came back from Las Vegas. When let's talk about a girl who's trying to make it in the entertainment industry, surrounded with a couple of friends, and try to make everything real. You know, saying real, and just put our little touch of comedy into it. And that's where really Off when came
right.
to birth, right there.
See, that's kind of funny because usually when most people hang around, they're talking about, let's see, what are we going to get to eat? You know, what are we going to get for pizza? Yet you guys are creating these amazing projects, and there's another thing because I have been around people that are like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, have great concepts. Like I talked about it a couple of shows back where I actually know somebody that has written some really kick-butt scripts. Like these scripts would blow your mind. Sitting on a shelf collecting dust because they had the motivation to write them, but that was it. They didn't know how to take it to the next level. So I have to ask you a question. You guys have actually, okay, you had the idea, actually had to sit down and write it. How did you get to the point where you took it to the next level where you actually created it and got it out there to have it viewed and to have it go places?
It was a trial and error process with All for One. With the Block, it was, you know, more so, you know, when it comes to visuals, it's always trial and error. We basically said when we start to write a concept, we already know how we're going to shoot it, how it's going to be done, and basically we just plan to, you know, shoot, produce it, and then edit it down, and then from there we look at the options that we have available to get into the film festivals or wherever it is we need to get to. I constantly communicate with so many different people, network with so many different people, talk about our projects, talk about ideas, and simply put, you just talk and something leads to another thing, and then you just follow through on it, really. Mm-hmm. It's all about networking in this business.
Right. Now, what are some of the ways that you've been able to actually network in this area? I know you say, okay, you talk to one person to another, but what is some advice that you can give people if they're actually interested in doing something like that, where they're actually networking and trying to get their projects out there?
Well, there's actually a number of social events that are always held, basically biannual, you know, bimonthly, or you know, along the way in the months. Usually, Chuck Slavin, who you know, actually, he holds he holds the filmmaker Shindig and Quincy on a bimonthly basis, and there's some really great talent that comes from events like the filmmaker Shindig and the New England Cast events. Just anything where you'd want to be around, you know, creative people, film festivals like the Boston International Film Festival that's coming out. So many different things that you want. So many different events that you want to socialize with, get in touch with, you know, filmmakers, you know, do a shoot with some people, connect with them. You always, you know, if you love this business, you want to always be around everything that has to do with relation to the business. So you learn and you communicate, you learn, and then you also, you know, you just basically get as much information as you can.
That's very true. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you now, you guys are fairly young, because, I mean, by no means of the imagination, you guys anywhere, you're near your 40s or 50s or any of that.
Oh, Lord,
so,
no.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because when people hear you, I remember the last time you were on the show, I had someone say to me, oh, but, you know, he's not in his 40s. He's not in his 50s. He's very young. They're both very young, as a matter of fact. And to have that tenacity to take it to the next level. Do you find that because of your youth, you sometimes have people look at you like maybe not take you serious, or has that ever been an issue for you when it comes to dealing in the industry?
Personally, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
With me and Laz, we just don't care. We when it comes to people who have more experience, more age on you, and certainly when you're at that age, you've experienced a lot. You've been there. You've done that before. And you know, here comes these new guys, these city slickers coming in, and like they got some revolutionary stuff going on. We don't really look at it like.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really look at it like it's an age barrier thing. We don't look at it as, you know, you've done this or done that. We just do what we do best, and that's just how we do it. Simple as that. So,
now, do you think that when – now, that's a great attitude to have, and it's definitely worked for you. Now, do you sometimes feel that people are willing to give you a chance? They don't say, okay, well, you haven't done, you know, 10 movies or whatever. Do you think people – more so in this area or in general, just because of the fact that you do have talent, you have a lot that you bring to the table, do you think that that is the reason why you've been able to work with people? Or what do you think are some of the reasons why you've been able to do some of the things that you've accomplished?
Well, experience in this industry is always a given, and people are always inclined to look the other way because they want to go with the more experienced person because, you know, they're on,
mm-hmm.
you know, these producers and directors, they're on deadlines and they need work done and they don't have time to mess with people younger. So we always want to work with a mix of just, you know, experienced people and people learning. Great example is Melvin Van Peebles when he done Sweet, Sweet Badass Song. His crew
mm-hmm.
was basically half experience, half learning. And
mm-hmm.
and as you know from the story, he basically put his own money up to make the film. And that's actually one of my inspirations right there is Melvin Van Peebles and his movie Sweet Sweetbacks. Sweetback.
Right.
And so when you take that, you just basically you just go and just do what you feel that's necessary to get the project done. Don't look at, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's in your way. Just think of, like, okay, I'm at point A. I need to get to point B. How do I get to point E?
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm going to get to point B. It's just by putting these pieces in place and then just driving through and just completing it.
That's awesome because that attitude is definitely going to serve you well. Now, I want to get back to this whole fighter thing because I think it's just great because I wanted people that haven't heard you before to get a feel for how you are and how you express yourself. So here you go. Your partner's a boxer and you wind up getting into MMA. How did you get into that?
I actually I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
Go ahead.
Believe it or not, me and Laz had a fight one day.
Yeah.
We had a fight.
I love it. I love it.
This is the first thing that I'm just being plainly honest. I really don't care what anyone's gonna say about it. But me and Laz, we had a fight. We have that sometimes, you know, like brothers. We have our little moments there. But
mm-hmm.
you know, basically, you know, when you punch somebody in the when you hit somebody as hard as you think they are, and it doesn't faze them, and then they punch you back, you know that there's some things that you got to change about yourself.
Oh, trust me, I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. So that kind of motivated you to. So how did okay, you punched somebody. Obviously, they looked at you like, man. That's all you have.
It was nothing, and then pretty much, you know, I owed him one. So basically, I took the hit like I was supposed to. Face was swollen up for a week, you know. And basically from there, I just said to myself, okay, let's just take this one step at a time. Don't quit, because I remember back in I used to be a quitter when it comes to athletics, and I just said to myself, let me try to just take this as far as I can take it with mixed
mm-hmm.
martial arts, because there's something about it that the allure of it just grabbed me. And when I had my first workout in on a Friday afternoon, and I saw the people training in their tap out
mm-hmm.
shorts and, you know, with the gloves on, the 4 ounces, and I, you know, the first lesson that we learned was how to shoot on somebody. You know, I learned that, like, wow, the stuff I've been doing has not been working in terms of cutting my weight. So I said, let me
right.
take this as far as I can. And, yeah, you know, it's fun. It's exhilarating. You don't know what you're going to expect. And it's always a learning process when it comes to mixed martial arts. It's always about training. Will
mm-hmm.
I fight? Most likely no, but I wouldn't rule it out, because knowing me, I'm always going to try something and say, hey, let me just try to get in it on it once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to at least step in the cage, see how it feels when you got another guy that's, you know, that's in there that wants to take your life and take everything that you work so hard away, and you're trying to fight to make sure that you keep that up for one day.
You know, that is so true, because one of the things that people don't realize, and I found this out, when you actually train in any form of martial arts, which mixed martial arts, obviously the name says it, people think that there's like this thing that, okay, it's going to make you fight more. But in actuality, it makes you think twice about it, because of the fact that now you know what you can do. And I know that for me, when I started sparring at first, it was very intimidating. Very intimidating
oh, yeah.
because it's like, okay, it's one thing that I learned all this thing in the studio, you know, in the dojo or whatever, but then to actually have to translate it to, okay, this is a real fight situation. This guy, like you said, really wants to beat the living stuffing out of me. What do you think it takes to be able to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to do this. Especially for you, because you yourself said you've never really been much of a fighter. I wasn't either. I honestly could count on one hand the time that I had to get into a fight as a teenager. So when I had to learn martial arts because of my job and whatever, it was very intimidating. So what do you think for you has motivated you to keep going back? Even though, like you said, I'm sure the thought to quit had come into your mind a couple of times, especially when you were icing your knees and you talked about your black eye and all these, you know, things that you were sore.
Yeah, don't forget busted nose, too.
Oh, the busted nose. That's right. I forgot about the busted nose.
Yeah.
So what kept you going? What kept saying, you know, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to do this?
I think it's like a motivational factor of knowing, like, something has changed in you and you don't want to go back to where I was before. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm always striving to be better, you know, to be better than what I am every day. I'm always striving to say, okay, what can I work on to be better? How can I be better than that? I personally,
mm-hmm.
like I said before, I'm a very competitive person. I love competition. I love trying to see if there's somebody better than me at this, and I try to one up them.
Mm-hmm.
So basically said to myself, let me just, you know, let me not quit. Let me just, you know, go for
uh-huh.
it. If my trainers say, hey, this ain't for you, then, hey, it ain't for me. But if they want me, you know, they see improvement, they want me to keep training, then I'll keep training. I'll keep going harder and just keep getting better. And the proof in the pudding is that, you know, I got a stripe in my on my white belt. Now it takes only 4 more stripes to get to a blue belt. And so
mm-hmm.
when Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so I just said to myself, okay, I'm gaining confidence. Let me just try my best. Simple as that.
Now, I have to ask you, while you were going through this process, was there a point in time that it went from this feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm going to get my butt whooped, I don't really want to do this, to the point where you were like, I can't wait to get into the gym. I can't wait to do this.
I still feel that every day I walk into the gym. That feeling of like, oh man, what's gonna happen today?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much pain am I gonna go for it? But honestly, like, it's pretty much like you get those butterflies when you get in there, and then that's the part of life you live, is just you sense the butterflies, and sometimes it's like that little feeling in your stomach where it's like, I know I shouldn't be doing this because of, like, I'm out of my comfort zone, but
mm-hmm.
you know. In life, we're always going to be out of our comfort zone. And, you know, this way, it helps you to adapt so that when you're out of your comfort zone, you can really manage yourself no matter what the situation is. And I noticed, you know, one of my trainers who actually he babysitted me when I was 4 years old, who's a Muay Thai instructor, he told me, you know, always, you know, saying whenever you're in a situation, make sure you're out of your comfort zone, because when you're out of your comfort zone, you can really push yourself to places you never even thought you'd been before.
See, that's very interesting, because that's something that I hear all the time about people's comfort zone. And us as humans, the hardest thing for us to do is to come out of our comfort zone to do something new. Now, and that's where the tough get going and the rest of us go, I'm staying right here, because when we get that feeling of, okay, I'm being pushed out of our comfort zone, and that's where that fight or flight thing comes. Have you noticed a change in yourself as far as before might have been like, okay, I don't like being punched in the head, but now you get punched, but there's a positive attitude that comes to it of, okay, you got me this time, but it motivates you to be better. Have you seen any transformation in you yourself in that sense?
Oh, yeah, exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
Exponentially. It's to the point where, like, if somebody throws hands with me and they connect, it doesn't do anything with me. I just block it out. You know, your trainers always say, you know, you're gonna get punched. You know, saying,
mm-hmm.
But how do I not get punched so much so that it doesn't hurt? And the one thing with mixed martial arts is it's always, they always help, you know, train you so that you protect yourself from not getting hurt as much as that next person. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the most protective fighter that's always going to win, because, you know, the more he lands, the more he connects, the more he's on time, the more precise he is the more chances he's going to, you know, come out there alive and, you know, successful for that matter. So
now, have you seen any transformation in you yourself? Like,
yes.
Your demeanor, your swag, or anything that
my swag is on
tell
high.
Us about
my swag is on high. I could tell you that straight up. I'm looking fresh.
Yeah.
You can see my smile. I mean, like, everything. If I look somebody in their eyes and they're looking at me like they want to do something, I'm like, man, I've dealt with people bigger than you, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm it's almost to the point where I'm looking at them. I'm like, okay, I'm already gonna know what I'm gonna do and how I'm gonna get there. I'm already going to know, okay, he's looking at me. I'm going to put him in an arm bar right there if he tries
mm-hmm.
to do something. But aside from that, that's just like in a protective sense where, like, if somebody was, you know, wants to start something with you. But it's an amazing transformation. I'm more confident. I'm more, you know, I got much more swagger. I can
mm-hmm.
see things much better and, you know, every time I used to be a very timid person when I talk, but now you could probably, if you compare last year to right now, you can really hear, you know, that I'm much more confident. I'm much more, you know, direct. I'm much more, you know, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just say things much more fluently and much more direct, you know, deliberately.
Right.
I'm just a very direct person now. Because of, you know, I train and I try to, you know, become better in all that I do. And as a producer and as a director, you have to be deliberate. You have to be, you know, assertive in your role, because you understand what your project is and you know what you're going to do to get it done from point A to point B. And you know what it's going to take to get there. And you have to be at least at that level so that you can get that done, you know?
Right. Now, do you think that one of the things that I've noticed, again, a lot of famous people do martial arts. Now, do you think it's affected you as far as your patience and the way you deal with people on that spectrum, not the fact that, you know, you have more confidence and stuff, which is an amazing part of it. Has it affected your patience or your demeanor with dealing with people?
Oh, yeah, it truly it has. I feel that... When you're learning mixed martial arts, one of the things is don't try to rush or be bullheaded. Just take your time, you know, understand what situations you're in, defend the situation, and then you just go
mm-hmm.
and, you know, make your move so that you get out of a situation. So when it comes to working with people and they're, you know, you don't want people to see that you're uptight. or anything like that, or you're out there, or they're going to be uptight. You want to be as patient as possible, and that's martial arts really provides you that calming, soothing effect. You know, for whatever reason you come into a gym angry, that will, you know, make martial arts will really help you to become, you know, less angry, or, you know, not even angry at all, really. It'll just help you become much more patient and help you to understand things a lot better. You know,
right.
It provides you a moment of clarity for those few minutes that there's no clarity in your life.
That's excellent. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask, how does the shift in dynamics, how has that affected your relationship with Laz?
Oh, Laz, I mean, we're practically even tighter than before, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to be tight no matter what. In terms of our production, in terms of what we do, nothing's really ever going to stop us. What it in fact has done for me is that I've actually become much more productive than what I've been before, in terms of just
mm-hmm.
planning, in terms of just having a project and an idea and how to execute that idea, how to speak your idea to people, how to communicate it so that everyone's on board. In fact, mixed martial arts has really helped me to speak clearly, speak deliberately. It just helps all around, really, to, you know, make me a better producer, a better entertainer, better director, better everything. And things that I used to do in terms of my diet and things like that, they've changed because I want to
mm-hmm.
be better. You know, I want my body to be better. I want my soul to be better. I want everything to be better. So
you found that you have more balance in your life right now.
Yes.
That's excellent. Now, we talked about some of the stuff that you did in 2010. Now, how do you think what you accomplished in 2010, how are you going to use that to springboard you to what you were talking about the stuff you're going to do in 2011? And just fill us in on what you have planned and what you're going to be doing.
Well, 2010 really served as a testing point for Trisceptor Studios
mm-hmm.
to, you know, what we really have now. We have equipment now where we could go and shoot any type of project anywhere that we want. The ability to do HD has been crucial with us. Distribution,
mm-hmm.
The fact that we have, you know, an outlet where we can, you know, have our project seen around the world, that's become a prime thing. And, in fact, with a lot of productions and things of that nature, you know, it's hard for them to get, you know, produce, you know, get distribution so that, you know, you get your product to the listeners. And
right.
basically what you're going to see is a lot of sound campaigning, a lot of sound production work from Trisceptor Studios, top-notch quality, top-notch productions, top-notch entertainment is going to be in front of your doorsteps all through this year, ladies and gentlemen. So
that is excellent.
Yeah, so we got a number of projects that we got for our music group. As we said, one of our artists, Envy, she's coming out with an EP, Miss Smith, who's on our track Feel. She's coming out with an EP this year. We're going to do our first feature film this year. And trust me, we haven't forgot about Jackal. That's still on the burner right there.
I am so excited about that. I just cannot wait for that, because it just sounds like a cool concept, and I know you talked to Shelley about being involved with that, and I absolutely love working with Shelley because she's such a dynamo herself. So it's definitely going to be something that I'm excited and looking forward to. If you will hold on 1 second, I have another call, so don't go. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second, so don't leave so you can hear what's going on. So hold on a second.
Okay, no
problem.
I'm going
to switch you over. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to switch you over. Hello, Diamond in the Rough Show. How are you?
Hi, my ears are ringing. This is Shelley Nunchucks.
It's so funny. I recognize your number. I was just talking about you. Hold on a sec. I'm going to bring hello. Guess who is on the other line?
Hello.
Hi, bro. What's up?
This ain't bro. This is Madea. Hello. Hallelujah.
So how you doing, Shelley?
Oh, gosh. I was like, I missed half of the show because I just looked on my inbox in Yahoo for Facebook. Everybody's like, thank you. And how everybody majorly messages people back to one message. And I'm like, what is this about? And it says, I didn't know if it was tonight, So I'm going, okay, I'll just ring into it. And I was like, oh, and the first person I hear is Crosby. It was like, oh, bro. I was so excited. And they started talking. And it's like, then you guys start talking about me. And my ears are burning. I'm like, oh, good.
For our listeners who might not know this, this is Shelly Nunchuck Finnegan. She's like a legend in this part because she's an actress, she's a comedian, she does her own stunts, she does martial arts, she does a little bit of everything, and she's just a dynamo. And we've been very fortunate to work together on a couple of projects and kind of hung out and worked with our big bro up in Maine as well, Z, Big Z up there, Uhura. So, Shelly, what do you got on? Tell us a little bit about what you did in 2010.
Well, 2010, it's kind of more like a transformation where I moved up here, and I was living with Big Bro for like 4 months, and he helped me get on my feet. I had no job, no place to live, and because of Big Bro, Uhura, he's the one who helped me become more of, more of myself. And I got a job up here. And I got my own little place. And he started teaching me Tai Chi 2 mornings a week before I go to work. And it's not something like you just take a class and someone teaches you. He actually knows what he's talking about, like Shaolin type of like Tai Chi martial arts. And when I'm learning it, he explains it so simple that I can understand it in terms, and I'll go, oh, I'm kind of getting it. And I don't want to take away from Crosby time. I know we're talking to him, but there was something really cool that really happened to me on Facebook. And it's something I've been working on for 5 years, every single day, writing, networking to everyone so I could get a hold of Jackie Chan. The funny thing is I became part of the community. I wrote to people that have met Jackie Chan that weren't even actors or anything. There's a website, his diaries. I was writing to everybody and anyone. So I get this friend message on my Facebook, and it says Jackie Chan. I'm like, yeah, okay, Jackie Chan. So then I go find out. Okay, I'm going, nah, this is somebody pulled my leg, right? I'm going, this is not him. Go to find out it was him. So the thing that happened twice is, there was like a witch hunt on Facebook where people were saying Jackie would never say hi to me. This was the first incident. And Jackie, I told him, I said, listen, people are really mean and blah, 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 this and that. He wrote on my Facebook wall himself. He said that, you know, you're a good person and, you know, respect and this and that. And so then a second time, 2 weeks ago, people said they wanted to report my profile, said I was making this all up, saying I was doing Jackie Chan's profile. Well, I told Jackie this.
Oh, my God.
People got really ticked off. I'm going, what is it? I talked to everybody the same. So I guess people were harassing Jackie Chan on his Facebook profile, saying nasty things to him, saying, are you fake? Is this Jackie? He got tired. I mean, he may be an international superstar, but he's a humane human being. I mean, if you're going to harass him, that's not right. So he posted a link straight to his website diary saying, see, this really is me. And after that, guess what? 10 million people came onto his Facebook profile. And I'm like, I told you people, it's really Jackie Chan.
Wow, that's crazy. That is, you know, it's funny, too, because for our listeners, and Crosby knows this, Shelly has always stated the fact that she really wants to work with Jackie Chan. And one of the things that annoys me, and I'm sure most of us have gone through this, is people have a tendency to dismiss people's dreams, like, oh, you'll never do that. And it's like, never say never. It's like, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, earlier, Crosby can tell you, we were talking about the movie The Fighter. I'm pretty sure when Mark Wahlberg was getting his butt arrested and he had these dreams in his head, people were looking at him like, yeah, right, the only place you're going is to jail. Then you have him, an Oscar-nominated actor, years later. So it's all about who do you listen to? I mean, are you going to listen to the people that keep saying, no, no, you can't? But on the other spectrum is we really need to be careful about dismissing people's dreams. I don't care how far-fetched or ridiculous we might think they'd be. The reality is that the reason everybody has a dream, like in Shelly's case, obviously a lot of people have met Jackie Chan. He's made tons of movies, so obviously a lot of people have worked with him. So where is the realm of impossibility in that dream? With Crosby, you know, people have made movies, have made independent movies, have produced albums, have gotten where they were from nowhere and went to, you know, get nominated for a Grammy, an Oscar, or whatever. So it's been done. There's no realm of impossibility there as well. So the reality is that nothing is impossible. It's just how the person is willing to work through it and make their dream a reality. So, Shelly, you talk about your transformation. You know, you're able to go out in the world, be independent, and do all that. How do you see that affecting the way you do work in the entertainment industry from now on?
Well, I'm kind of like not afraid. It's kind of like when I first got into it, I wasn't as confident because I thought it was all about beauty and what you look like. I really had that in my head. If I'm not beautiful enough and if I don't look like a model, if I'm not a model, I don't belong in the entertainment business. But what I learned, there's lots of personalities. It doesn't matter. Anybody can act. You stand in front of a camera and you listen to what the director says. It's like living someone else's life. Like, you know, you're just talking. It's like having a conversation. I mean, you're acting a role, but, you know, it's something where, I mean, basically you listen to what the director says. You get the script in your head, and a lot of times it's actually improv, too. They, like, what they do is, like, for instance, the film Inventory, which I was in, and it just got submitted to the Sundance Film Festival. And it was a slacker film. It's like Clerks meets The Breakfast Club. And it's a whole bunch of people in a big furniture warehouse. And we're slackers. We don't want to do our job and count the merchandise and blah, 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 this and that.
Right.
Well, my character, what the director did, took my love for Jackie Chan and put it in my character. And it's something where I'm yelling through the whole film, like, I don't want to be called Maria, call me Jackie, and it's just like everything relating to it. It has the, what do you call it, the trailer, there's a trailer for it, and it seems like now I'm actually meeting people, like when people said before that people won't work with me or this and that because I might be a little weird or strange or different or something like that, there's people out there that I can find that will work with me, that will be open up minded, like Crosby right there. That will work.
Okay, I have to stop you right there. And Crosby, I want you to kind of comment on this. Have you really ever met anybody normal in the entertainment industry?
That would be you would wish for somebody to be normal in our industry. But I mean, actually, we'll probably look at them like they don't know what the industry is all about because they're not as different. But the thing is that in the entertainment industry, your unique talents and your unique abilities really set you apart, and I think that really is the driving force of people, you know, looking at you because, you know, we're exhibiting our talents, you know, the things that make us unique that people don't really normally see. They just think it's like, oh, it's goofy, it's entertainment, it's not related to me. But when they see it in real life, they're like, you're weird. You know, or you should be in a movie, you know, for that matter.
Right, exactly. Okay, hold that thought real quick. It is actually 7:08. Great, we're working on the second hour. And what I'd like to tell our listeners, if you're just joining us, we actually are talking to Shelly Nunchuck Finnegan, and we have Crosby Tandem on the show. Now, I kind of left it open because I kind of reached out to all the people that have been on the show in the past year and see who wanted to kind of jump on. But you know, it's funny, I kind of had a feeling I knew who I was going to get to call. So I was so excited about the projects that you guys have done. So definitely for you listeners, if you are interested in talking to Crosby or to Shelly, you can definitely reach us here. Hold on a second as I line this up. Our call-in number, 1-347-989-1473. Also, you can reach us on our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman, WMN, and that'll lead you right to the segment page. You can listen to the show there. You can make a comment, come into our chat room, which I have a bunch of people in there, but they're being awfully quiet, so they must, like, really be enthralled into what we're saying right now.
Come on, it's a new year, baby.
Yeah, come on now, right? And the other thing is, of course, you can always email me if you have any comments, questions, or concerns to ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com. And on that note, I actually have a comment that came in on the email. Cool how people do that. I love technology. Anyway, I have this lady from Connecticut, of all places. And what's her name? Jenny. Jenny from Connecticut. She has a question for Crosby. She said, did you ever feel that you maybe were in over your head when you started taking mixed martial arts? And second part to that question, was there a stigma that was attached to that particular art form that was either positive or negative for you?
Well, number one, I really was over my head. I'm not going to lie about that.
Mm-hmm.
I must have been like on Pluto or Saturn when that happened. But
Shelly and I can relate to that. We were like, what did we just get ourselves into?
it was the week that I joined, and like, you know, Big Mike, who's like, you know, he's a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. The people at Best Way know who he is. I opened my arms up. He took a shot at my face and, you know, busted my nose. Blood was coming down. I was like, what did I get myself into? but I think it's because, I think it's just that the past with me is just, I'm always not trying to quit. My attitude is, saying don't quit at what, you know, see where something's going to take you. Just don't quit at it.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, take it as far as you can go. It just turns out I guess I could take it as far as I would want to go. And,
right.
And so when it just comes to mixed martial arts, you're just learning, you're growing. It's not all about the blood and you know, the over the top
mm-hmm.
attitude. It's really all about just competition. It's really all about just learning, you know, different styles and just, you know, really translating that into, like, you know, how you do your thing in the world, really.
Mhm. Yeah, it's so true because I have to share a story with you guys. When I first started martial arts, and Shelly can relate to this because Shelly has actually gone through this, I remember the very first time I was sparring. I think I was there for like a week. I was sparring, and then all of a sudden, the sensei comes up to me, and he, cutest man in the whole world, had no clue who he was at the point because this is all so new to me. He comes to me, and he says, okay, you know, get ready, square off, because he had this thick Korean accent. And I'm looking at him like, what does that mean? You know, and then all of a sudden the man takes a running start at me and he plants his feet and puts his hands in the fist and he just goes, ah, like really loud. And my instinct was I covered my head and I screamed back. But I wasn't screaming back in defiance or to defend myself. I screamed like a girl because he scared the bejeebies out of me. So here's this tough person, you know, military training, law enforcement training, all this crap, and it went out the window in 2.5, and I was like, you know what, now would be a good time for me to go out the door. And to see where I went from that to sparring with guys and some of the training that I've done, it would have been so easy to quit. And when you said, Crosby, when you were saying about the fact that how important it is for you to take what you learn in the dojo or in the gym and to be able to translate it to the real world, it's huge. It is so huge because I know for me, and Shelly can attest to this fact too, there's a transition of empowerment that comes all of a sudden. And a lot of times you don't even realize it. It doesn't, right, Shelly? It doesn't go, here I am, here. And all of a sudden it just sneaks up on you and you're like, you know what? I can do this. I can kick butt. I can defend myself if I have to. And I can take on projects that otherwise people would say, you're not doing that. And, Shelly, I wanted to ask you, you do most of your own stunts in movies.
Yeah, and right now what I'm doing is Z is actually, how can I say, he's retraining me from the start. From when I was doing 2 years with Capoeira in a dojo where it's more kind of like one-on-one, and there's things like I'm starting from the beginning with Tai Chi. And like I said, his teaching, it's, like, very valuable, not just if you want to learn a punch, but I've learned I can actually get, probably take a beating pretty good, like getting thrown or stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What he's trying to do is because I like Z, my big brother. Anybody that asks me, like, you know, to throw a punch, I'm like, no, I don't want to. But it's like I can take a beating really good. I was like, I don't want to hit you. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, and he's like, no, you have to, like, kill it. Like, do you see what I'm saying? I'm not really a violent person, but it's like when we were doing in a Korea and we're doing the fight scene, like, come on, hit me. And it's like, well, he's like, you really want to do this? he has to get me to a point where I have to be more focused and not realize that he's like my big brother. When I'm in the classroom, I consider him my teacher. And what
right.
I do, what I've been learning, is more about, like, balance and to help, like, with vertigo where I get dizzy. And here's another thing I have to overcome. I want to learn how to do flips, like run off the wall and do it. I get dizzy a lot. And what
mm-hmm.
he's going to help with in Tai Chi is a balance. Is this everything's like step by step and everything, and it's something where it's going to take a while, but at least I'm learning from a good person. So I'm starting all over again. It's not something
which
where I'm
at
a certain level.
Right, and it's funny because that's different. I want to ask Crosby a question. Do you, and because it's different with women, did Crosby, when you started martial arts and you were actually sparring or in a situation where you were fighting someone, did the thought ever cross to your mind that, oh, I'm going to hurt this person?
Yeah, in fact, I'm every time when I'm training, I'm usually holding myself back, like saying, oh, I don't want to really go full force, because sometimes you think, like, you know, if you go full force, you're really going to hurt somebody. And you know, when you're going like 40, 50%, in my case, I'm usually like, you know, some people are like, oh, Crosby, you got me pretty good there, guy. And so you're always thinking of just holding yourself back and restraining yourself. But you're like, well, if I hold myself back, you know, what's going to happen here? Like, you know, I might be open to something unless I go full force at it. So it's all about balance. It's always about learning just to really just learn to just really focus, breathing, a lot of just balance. Oh, and by the way, I just want to give a shout-out to, you know, my MMA heads at Best Way, John Malone and Brian Viz. I know they're probably on Facebook right now. You better be listening to me, you punks. Now, see... But no, they're cool. But, you know, I'll see y'all on the mats. And I also want to shout out to Nick Zidia Adams. She was a beautiful girl in our Fantasy Girl music video. That's, you know, 3,000
mm-hmm.
music videos. And also Sugar Lump. Want to say what up to you, Ma.
That's awesome. See, and that's what I love about our show. It's just the fact that, you know, you guys are surrounded by amazing people that you've met and you've worked with, and it just continues to expand your circle of influence. I have to say, though, that what you said is true because... Again, everything you've said to this point, it's just so valid about how we as human beings do hold ourselves back. And one of the things that I learned when I was doing Taekwondo, and then I switched over to Tang Sudo, one of the things that I learned, my sensei said to me, every time you hold back, you are increasing your chances of injuring yourself. And the funny thing to me, I always thought, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, he can say that because he can punch a hole in a cement block and it doesn't even affect him. But it took me a while, and it wasn't until I actually did hurt myself, because I remember I was sparring and I went to do a kick. And for that split second, I'm thinking, you know, there's just too much impact behind this kick. I'm going to hurt this person. And when I held back, I wind up actually pulling something. But what I learned from that is that not only did I hurt myself physically, but as you said, Crosby, when we hold back, we wind up hurting ourselves in everyday life because we never get a chance to see our full potential. We hold ourselves back in all the areas of our life, so we really are the ones hurting ourselves, not the person that we are sparring with or the project or whatever it is that we're working on. And the reason I bring that up is because I'll ask Crosby first and then Shelley. Crosby, have you ever felt that now that you are doing martial arts, and I love the fact that, because this is what I want our listeners to understand, that this show covers so many areas, that you have done the martial arts, have you caught yourself where you actually are more willing to try new things, more daring in that aspect as well?
Not so much, but you kind of get that in your belly, like, oh, yeah, I could try that. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't fear that. I don't, you know, I look at it like, if you see something you want to do it, just do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the, I guess you could say that's the attitude I got with mixed martial arts is, you know, if I see something and I want to do it, then just go for it and do it. There's like no restrictions. There's no like, you know, thought of restriction. You just go and do it. You know, there's nothing
right.
of that special. By the way, shout out to J.O. City that's out there. What up, man?
Mm-hmm.
That's Liza's brother.
That's awesome.
So
I'm going to ask Shelley the same question because I like to get the different perspectives, because I've noticed that it's funny because women that do martial arts, we're kind of like a different breed. I thought we were average and ordinary in that sense, but we're really not. We kind of have a little bit of thinking. So, Shelly, I'm going to ask you, have you noticed any change in your willingness to try different things and not be as nervous or as apprehensive or even scared to try new stuff? Or is that something that's always been in you?
It's kind of always been in me, but the thing that gave me more courage and strength is because of Z, right? It
mm-hmm.
took me out of a very negative place because I never had a teacher like him. I've never growing up
mm-hmm.
or anything. And from what he's taught me so far is it doesn't matter. People are going to be negative, and no matter what you do, you could be Mother Teresa. You could do all charity
mm-hmm.
events, anything. No matter what you do or how kind, people are going to be negative no matter what you do, but you go ahead and do it anyway, no matter what people say about you. And I just like, you know what?
Right.
People can talk, say bad things about me, say, make fun of the way I talk, make fun of where I'm from or what I look like. But you know what? That's not going to stop me from what I'm doing in my life. I just do it anyway.
That's an excellent concept. Now, we're going to go back to what we were talking about earlier. It all ties in that I asked Crosby and Shelly because you mentioned the fact that people are like, oh, she's weird. And we talked about the fact that usually if you, quote-unquote, run into a normal person in the entertainment industry, he's probably the accountant or, you know, that kind of person. You don't run into the average and ordinary because of the fact that, think about it, the fact and the reality is that this industry is asking for different people. I mean, if you notice any actor, because, Shelly, you covered the fact, too, where you said, well, I have this misconception that if I wasn't beautiful and thin and all this, that there wasn't going to be work for me. But if anybody turns into a TV show or a movie, there's all types, because you want to keep it real. You want to keep it realistic. So you're going to have people that talk different, act different, look different, do different things. And that's the reality of the industry. So that is why you run into people that are quote-unquote weird. And that actually, their weirdness is actually our talents and our abilities coming out. Crosby, I have to ask you this, and then I'm going to cover Shelly on this as well. Have you guys ever had that feeling that people keep saying, oh, you know, you're so full of yourself. You think you're all this. You think you're all that. You know, you have to be the center of attention. And do you think that was coming from a valid point, or do you think that's just part of the fact that you are in this industry?
That's actually two prong right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say it's two prong because one of my teachers, Jim Clements, who's he was the television teacher in the New England Institute of Art where I went to school from. He always says that when you're a producer in this industry, you gotta have an ego. You gotta believe that your work is the best that it is. And that basically nothing can rival it or come above it. It's that great thing about you. Now, does it become a rub-off to some people in the industry? Yeah, might.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's your confidence. It's really just the thing that really makes you special who you are. When I talk to Laz, on a constant basis, there's never a negative connotation come from him. He's always saying, dude, we're always going to have the best work, dude. We're always, saying nobody can rival us. Nobody can top us. We are... we're saying we're the animals here. We feast on anything. We're the best. And you feel that because your
right.
work is the best.
And it's funny because I like what you're saying because the reality is the point that I want to make to that is that if you as a person, as an artist, as a creator of something, don't have that swagger that this is the best movie ever made, this is the best project ever made, this is the best song. If you don't believe it, how do you expect everybody else to say, wow, that's the best movie I've ever seen, that's the best show, et cetera, whatever. It comes from with you, that confidence to be able to sell it and to be able to have that belief.
Yeah,
so
you just...
Do you think that's why the quote-unquote average people will look at us and say, wow, they're so full of themselves?
Yeah, because, we're in an industry where it's basically, it's so... materialized with high glamour, high living, high rolling, and it's better than basically the average person,
mm-hmm.
who basically they basically buy what we're on, or
mm-hmm.
they purchase what we work so hard to make them entertain, because
right.
they think perception is reality. in the context of when people, you know, they pop in a DVD or they buy a movie ticket or they buy an album, they think like we are those people.
Right.
Where in fact we might not, we're really not. We're just like, you know, that person. We're just expressing ourselves, you know, in a much different light than what you have seen of us.
You know, that is so eloquent. I'm going to actually, I like the way you said that because that's going to segue into what I was going to mention with Shelly, and I know Shelly's not going to mind me bringing this up. As everybody knows that knows Shelly, she is an amazing dynamo. She's a stunt woman. I mean, when they were filming Anna Korea, she got tossed repeatedly take after take by Z, who is a big man, and they wanted to make it realistic. There was no padding on the floor. She was wearing no padding because we wanted to add realism to the scene. So she was literally being flipped in this fight scene over and over again, landing in rocks and stuff. And so this is who Shelly is. She knows how to use nunchucks. She knows how to fight. She knows this. She knows how to do stunts. And we actually had a training session a couple of months ago, and Shelly knows what I'm going to say, where all of a sudden it looked like Shelly had taken a forget-me pill. And all her skills had gone out the window. Remember that, Shelly?
Yeah, because it's like I said, with Z, it's like I have to, how can I say, separate myself when it comes time. Because he's a big guy, he can be stern. But the realism is he's
right.
A very humane human being, and it's like I have to, like, separate big brother from teacher. And, like, director.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to do. And I was like, you know, I was like, I have to get that kicked in. And he has to be like, okay, Shelly, it's time. We got to do this.
Right.
Because we're going to be doing more filming soon. We just finished another project. And I didn't know if you wanted me to quote on what Crosby was saying, what you just asked him.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the thing is, like, you know how people talk about egos and stuff, and everybody says they got to have
right.
an ego? I am far from ever having an ego. What everything is to me, I'm like a little kid. I get excited. When I write things, people like, they think I'm writing full of myself. But the way in my mind, I don't think like everybody else. Since everything's coming to me, you know how if you've never had much of anything your whole life, you have these
right.
chances. You're like, oh, my God, I'm like, even though I'm 40 years old, I feel like a little kid. And how I write
right.
is like a little kid. I'm very excited and happy. And people like, oh, what do you think for this man? I go, no, I don't think like that at all. I'm very happy, and I feel blessed and very humble, and I don't care about being the biggest superstar in the world. I just want to do maybe independent films and work with Jackie Chan. It's not the fact of being maybe the best actress or anything, but doing what I can do to make people laugh, because for 30 years I've been watching Jackie Chan films. But what he's done, he's
right.
brought a lot of happiness into the world, and that's what I want to do through films.
And, you know, and that's a very valid point, because like I was saying earlier with when we were going through this training exercise, and I'm looking at Shelly like Shelly could kick everybody's butt in here, but all of a sudden she had this little meltdown because, like you said, you're having a hard time separating teacher from brother. But the reality is that you have to sell yourself, because if you don't, no one's going to buy you. Plain and simple, and we know that, and that's why Shelly can tell you, and, you know, she's told some of our listeners when she's been on the show before, all the projects that she's done have been because Shelly has sold herself with, oh, by the way, I can do this, I can do that, but then you back it up, and you actually perform, so, and I can see why at times people will look at us in the entertainment industry and go, wow, you guys, you know what, you need to shut up because I don't want to see it, or you're the center of attention, but the reality is this business requires that, where other businesses might require you to be slept and quiet and, you know, that kind of thing. But this is a business where it's based on if you don't sell yourself, if you don't sell your product, which is you, and you're not going to get work and you're not going to go anywhere. And if you've created a movie that's amazing and you believe it, if you don't sell it, it's just going to sit on your bookshelf and basically your parents and your friends are the only ones that are going to see it. Real quickly, I have a caller, and I'm going to do like a party line here. So you two hold on, and
okay.
I'm just going to click over. Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Awesome. Hold on now. Let's see. Hello, Diamond in the Rough Show. Who's this?
This is Nasakwa Papa Soul.
As if I had to be told all the way from Chi-Town. How are you? How's it going?
I'm doing great, Charlie. How are you doing? It's great to hear from you.
It's great to hear from you, too. For our listeners, this is the amazing Papa Soul. You've heard him on our show, and he has the Can Do Band on YouTube. He has a show on Comcast out there in Chicago, and just a lot of amazing things that he's done. And the other guest we have is we have Crosby, and we have Shelly Nunchuck. So I'm so glad that we have, like, a little party line going on. Papa, real quick, what have you been up to? What has been going on for you? How did you wrap up 2010?
Oh, wrapped up 2010 doing some amazing production work. Recently, I worked on a show with the entire cast of Brunsfield, a 47th Street musical. It was a really great show. Got to talk to the whole cast and hosted on the Community Essentials Comcast show as the host there. And I also did some great work on doing some music writing for Autistic Awareness, produced, wrote, and composed and recorded a full song for The Answer Incorporated, which is a great great family and team who raises awareness for autism. So those
that
are just
awesome.
A couple of the things.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, and I love the fact that you call it. It's funny because I just had this conversation. Actually, I had an argument with some family members yesterday about this because there is such a lack of awareness for autism. And I don't know if our listeners and you guys remember. Do you remember that young man that was a senior in high school? He was autistic, and he was actually the equipment manager on the basketball team. And they actually let him play, like, for the last 5 minutes of the game. I'm not quite sure the exact amount. He wound up, you know, getting all these three-point shots. He wound up actually getting nominated for an ESPY for it and went to the ESPN Awards and met all these amazing athletes. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Well, the funny thing is that my point of view at that point when we were having this conversation was, why was this young man not allowed to play on the team the whole 4 years? And because I didn't know the background behind it, wasn't sure about it. And it was funny because someone who I will not mention, not to embarrass them, said, oh, because it's a liability. What are you talking about? They're like, well, if he gets hurt, it's a liability. Okay, time out. I'm like, all right, people with autism are not mentally challenged. They're not, you know, they don't have the mentality of a two-year-old. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. It's they're highly intellectual, and they compute that intellect differently than the rest of us. So I was like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? I just couldn't understand why they would say that. And they're like, and it was funny because they kind of backtracked and said, well, no, I understand what you're talking about. I understand where you're coming from. But if that child got hurt, the public would be outraged and they would probably, you know, sue the school or whatever. And I'm like, and Papa, because you've just went through this project, maybe I want you to, we want to talk on this because I'm glad we to go to show our listeners we cover a lot of spectrums here. How would that be a liability, honestly?
Well, in my
give me some of your feedback on that.
I'm with you, Charlie. I don't think that that would be a liability. And if it was, I would think that it would be no more a liability than it would be with all of the rest of the children. Now, there are, I should say, teammates on the team because, you know, it's the game of basketball and sports and, you know, anyone can get hurt or not. So, I think liability is maybe more of a scapegoat type of reference to why they chose not to allow the child on the team. It's a lot of, you know, diplomatic things that come into play as far as, you know, the parents and the children's opportunities. So it's probably a lot of reasons why there are a lot of different disagreements or opinions on whether they should play or not. I personally think that they should be allowed to do whatever they show capability to do, and dealing with an autistic child, that is actually far greater than a lot of the basketball players because of the way, as you said, their mind and their intellect works. So there are opportunities for them, and I think in the future we've had to break a whole lot of chains in the past that we now don't have to worry about today because someone stepped forward and made that right. And because someone's, you know, saw past what we, prior to that point, you know, believed were
number three. You know, it's funny. It's so funny that you say that because I'm laughing because it's almost like you were in the room when I was having this discussion. Because I said the same thing. I was like, okay, I remember 20 years ago, there was a big discussion about that African-American males were not smart enough. to be quarterbacks. I also remember the whole argument with females were a liability as police officers because they had nothing to contribute, you know, because of their smaller size and stuff. I also remember how, go further back in this country, that women weren't even allowed to vote because, well, you know, we don't, they do fluff stuff. They stay home, cook, sew, have babies, and they don't understand that. So as you said so eloquently just now, it's because someone was willing to step up and say, no, that's not right, and this is the reasons why, and I'm going to continue the struggle to make you realize that it's not the correct way of thinking. And this is the thing that I've noticed, the fact that kids nowadays, that's, I think, is kind of like a new awareness thing, is kids with autism are so severely misunderstood. I actually had, I did, and I had the opportunity a year ago to actually work with some people that had mental disabilities, and it aggravated me because of the fact that, okay, I'm working with adults with mongolism, mental retardation, and other levels of, you know, that kind of conditions, and the autistic kids were lumped in with them.
Right.
And I'm like,
I mean, And
the reason it bothered me, and I want you to comment on this, was the fact that the services that were available for the clients that had mental retardation and stuff were not servicing the children with autism, because night and day, totally different needs.
Well,
so in what you've seen and what you just expressed, you know, what do you think is some of the ways that we can actually get the awareness out and some of the things that you think need to change?
Well, I mean, the lady that I work with by the name of Deborah Vaughn, she has a company called The Answer Incorporated. And I think that to start there, just trying to provide some of the solutions, you know, of course, it's nothing that we're going to, you know, solve overnight, but being just a part of the solution, for one, is the right mindset to take. Number two, I think that a great way of approaching some of the solutions is doing what you do best to raise attention and awareness. Like me, myself, I'm a musician, a producer, I host a TV show. I've had Deborah and her son and her family on the show several times. I've also written and composed some music for to raise awareness for autism. So I think that doing what you do best to raise awareness is also a good thing. And number three, you know, just basically for people who don't understand it, that's what the whole point of raising awareness is about, giving people a proper understanding on something that they tend to, you know, maybe have a certain jaded view on, or just a complete misunderstanding. And you're right, Charlie, they are misunderstood. And I think that a lot of the trouble is with the basketball games we were talking about earlier is it's not that they, just like they believe the African-Americans weren't smart enough to be quarterbacks before, well, we would have a complete, we would have to redesign the entire game if that's the case, because now they're like half the population of ball players, and they've far proven that that wasn't correct. But I think that there are lots of problems. They would have to restructure the entire game, and right now it's too comfortable. They're making too much money doing it the way that they are. Not to say that no one cares, but enough awareness has not been raised. I'll just say that.
Right, exactly. It's very true. Now, I have to ask you, now, I know that you mentioned on some of the things that you did last year. What do you have in store for us in 2011?
In 2011, there are... I can't even put my finger on all the different possibilities that God has for me. I'm leaving it all in his hands, first of all. But I really just really hope to gain more placement with songs that have meaning, songs that I produce that have meaning and that can actually make a statement and raise awareness, or just applying myself in every venue that maybe I hadn't in 2010 to a larger extent, to push myself further, you know, maybe trying some new things, some new ventures, looking at some new projects, working with Papa Soul Productions and the type of clients that I take on, and just really just stretching what I do to its full potential and taking on new things ventured that I have not before, to completely just make myself whole as an artist is the goal.
Mm-hmm. See, and this is another thing that I love about being in this industry, because of the fact that I've gotten to meet such amazing people like yourself and Crosby and Shelley. And, like, we're all over the place. You know, Shelley's over there, and she's in Maine, and Crosby's over there in Boston, and, you know, you're in Chicago, and it's just a spectrum of people that, and that creates to the networking where, you know, okay, you're doing this project here, and is there something that, you know, this person here could help you with, or that to expand it? And one of the things that I want you guys to comment on this is, have you noticed in the entertainment industry or the industry that you're working at, have you noticed a willingness to help each other out, or do you notice it's more of every man kind of for himself? We'll start with Crosby. Crosby, have you come across that in the industry?
Yeah, yes and no. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have people that, you know, when you work with, they're in it for their own, you know, just to build their resume up, just to build their you know, the talent up, you know, basically springboard off of you to, you know, just so they get a bigger name. But in reality, there are also those who, you know, they'll do it because of the love. They'll do it because of the passion. They'll do it because you know, they feel that, hey, they believe in you. They believe in the project or whatever it is you may be doing, and they'll just fall suit with you.
Right, exactly. Now, Shelley, how about you? What have you found in the industry?
Yeah, when I first got in there, because I was like, you know, a babe in the woods, even though, like, because of my age, in my late 30s. The people that are greedy and such, I won't work with them. I refuse to. I don't care who they are in the industry. And this is being honest. And I'm always honest. I'm not blunt where, you know, people, they say I'm brutally blunt and they have swear words and stuff involved in that. But what I do is I find the people that are more compassionate. This is one reason why I want to work with Jackie Chan. He has done so much charity work. He goes over to countries, gets them water. He's done, I can't even tell you the numerous stuff. When people are like an international superstar like Jackie, where he has all this money in the world, but he gives back so much. I'm like, that makes me want to work with a person more than someone that's out just to make $1 million. So I'm saying, yeah, I'll work with them, because in this day and age, I feel like most people are not as compassionate and passionate. I am passionate and have compassion enough put myself into something to make people feel, to make them laugh when they have a bad day. I'd rather work with people that have passion and compassion than someone that's like a billionaire.
Right. And now, Papa Soul, what have you found in your neck of the woods as far as people willingness to help you, or kind of like everybody's out for themselves?
Well, it's really like, well, what I've learned is that you – the people who you are in connection with that do support what you do, that do appreciate it, to really take care of those people, because they're always supportive. And it doesn't matter if, you know, it's three people in the stands or if it's, you know, 100. The people that support you, you should always take care of them, because they're going to be there for you. And I think that the responses that we've gotten so far are really good. I mean, it's very honest and true to say that, you know, the people who seem a little overly ambitious, you kind of want to kind of stay away from that, because it just, they kind of come off as if they'll also throw you in the fire too to fuel their engine, and, you know.
It's true that you mentioned that, because Shelley and I are laughing because we've actually had that experience where we're both I'm not one to come out and say, wow, that person is, you know, XYZ, because it's really none of my business. But it's kind of like Shelley and I are like, okay, I think we'll come sit over here, because of the fact that it's just, you know what I'm talking about, right, Shelley? Because you're like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? And,
yeah,
you know, it's
funny,
too, because I want to touch real quick on something Shelley said, because she was talking about how her personal belief system, she doesn't want to have to work in movies where they degrade her or, you know, require for her to take her clothes off and stuff, because we've had this conversation before. And it's funny, Shelley, because I was in a conversation the other day where this actress came up, and it was funny because one of the people watching it, she's like, oh, yeah, this chick, that's all she does is take her clothes off. Because I made the comment, I was like, it's the middle of the afternoon. Why is it that the last two movies that this particular person's been in, I've had to see her boobs? And the person goes, oh, yeah, that's all she does. That's what she's known for, taking off her clothes. So I'm like, how much talent does it require to stand in a room and take your clothes off? You know what I mean? To create a character, really? You need to be booty naked kind of thing. So it goes to show, too, the reason I bring that up is because that's not saying that it's a bad thing. And, yes, there are some movies, whatever, that that might require, and there's some actors and actresses don't have a problem with it. God love them. But what I like is, and you guys can kind of talk to this a little bit, is the fact that sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge when you have to stand up for your beliefs and having the courage to do it without saying to yourself, I'm going to really shoot myself in the foot with this. And I'm going to start with you, Papa. Have you ever had an instant where you've been confronted with a situation where you didn't want to compromise your beliefs and had to stick up for them?
Well, yeah, I think that, I mean, being a Christian, I believe in God very much so. And, I don't feel that anyone has to sell their soul, if they don't feel that it's necessary, or even if they do think that it's necessary, I don't think it's a good idea for them to sell their soul. But I think that when it comes to work, there is a certain amount of, diplomatic type of attitude that can be addressed towards it. If you're asked to do something that you're a little uncomfortable with, sometimes you weigh the greater outcome. It may not be something as big as, compromising your religion or your personal beliefs. It may just be something that makes you a little uncomfortable. And in that case, you may want to weigh the outcome, like, well, can I get over a little bit of a scratch to make a big, huge, positive impression later on, if I, and I'm not trying to be, but and as it relates to, like, the whole ladies taking off their top thing, honestly, mm-hmm. as a guy, and, I'm only going to do you the same respect to being as honest as the young lady was a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, as a guy, we don't mind seeing a lady go topless in a movie, but as a
that's funny because that's what the person said. They're like, well, of course I'll pay to go see so-and-so naked. I don't care what the movie's
right.
about or what she's saying. I just want to see her naked.
Right, so I'm not going to lie on that, but truthfully, as an honest, if a woman mm-hmm. really has that ability, just like the ability that the young lady spoke of a second ago, mm-hmm. if she really has that ability, even if you take off your top, a man is going to see your artistry. Even if you're
mm-hmm.
nude and your artistry will come through and you will be remembered for that. So it's not like mm-hmm. you have to take off your top to get noticed. It's like if you are a monster, a real beast at being just a good artist and having a craft, then I think that that craft doesn't mind also allowing things like having to reveal yourself in certain aspects to contribute to the artistry of the role or the character that you're playing.
That's a good point, and I want to bring up a topic, and this is kind of cool because I love when I have people of your caliber that I can ask these questions to. I'll give you an example. Everybody knows, 10-12 years ago, Saved by the Bell, big show, the whole bit, and then the girl Elizabeth Barkley, everybody thought she was going to be the next best thing to come out of there. As a matter of fact, she was earmarked, from what people had said, to be a bigger artist, a bigger actress or star than Mario Lopez, the other kid there, I can't remember his name right now, the blonde kid Zach that played Zach, and the other girl there, oh my God, I'm having a hard time with the names right now. The other girl that was on the show, she wound up being on 90210. So
right.
Everybody, and this is the double standard in Hollywood, which is why I kind of like when you get the opportunity to do independent projects, but everybody said that the only reason she didn't go on to bigger things is because she starred in the movie Showgirls. Everybody knows the big controversy, NC-17, because of all the nudity and implied sex and everything else in the scenes. So people are saying, well, that's the reason why she never progressed, because that was the kiss of death. So I'm going to start with Crosby. Crosby, do you really think that there's this double standard in Hollywood where, okay, you have this girl, she's booty naked everywhere, and that's the reason she never got any quote-unquote legitimate work because she was in a film that was originally NC-17, or is it just because it was a god-awful movie and she wasn't a good actor?
Well, from a business standpoint, in the film industry, if I remember when Showgirls came out, and I remember the reviews on the movie. It wasn't really good,
right?
With the film, and her name was attached to the byline pretty much,
yeah.
So she was actually responsible for the fact of the film not doing so well, and
yeah.
honestly, taking your clothes off, when she committed to the part, she really she committed herself to just, you know, going to stretch and really thinking that it's a daring part. Let me just try and do my best with it. I don't think any woman in the world would just take a clothes off just to take a clothes off just for, you know, a public showing or a movie or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because an actress
right.
knows what, you know, what entails into a role, and they'll just go for it just for the fact of, you know, this, there's an artistic, you know, interpretation with what they're doing.
Right. So in theory, you think that the fact that she was nude had nothing to do with it. It was just because it was a really bad movie and she really didn't do that great of a job in it.
Basically, because, you know, when you're attached to a movie and you're trying to sell it, and, you know, if people don't jump on, basically, when you're the lead of a movie, you're gonna get the fair share of the glory and the fair share of the blame, and and that's basically what happened.
Okay, and Shelley, because you feel so strongly about this particular thing, do you think that she kind of compromised by taking off her clothes? Do you think this is a movie that could have actually told a story without so much nudity? How do you feel on that particular subject?
I would have probably written a little bit more different. Probably, like, have the girls be a little more kick-ass, not, like, the theme, because I actually saw the film. I mean, I don't, like, watch a lot of porn and stuff like that. I actually seen the film, and I saw it in VH1, maybe... It didn't show everything, and things were covered up, but I was like, I think it needed to be written, something more to the plot, but you know what could have happened? Since she was on one of those shows, you know how it was like, maybe she was to a point where she wanted to stop acting for a bit? You know how people are in TV shows? Maybe she got to a point where she's like, you know, I need a break. I want to do something different in my life. That could have happened. We don't know people's personal stories. We just don't know. And the thing with me, when people say, well, who do you think you are? You don't want to take your clothes off and blah, 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 and this and that. I go, the person, like, the one that I really want to work with is Jackie. Now, he's on my Facebook. He sees everything I write. Now, the thing, when it comes down to it, doesn't matter what anybody says, because Jackie has his own companies. If I was sitting in a room with him alone, he would be the one to make the decision, saying, you can't work with me. And what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to get money to save up for one of those computers with a camera on it, because now I have this instant message thing, so everything's step by step. It doesn't matter what anybody says, it's Jackie. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know what I want, and I'm not going to compromise with nobody. If people can't understand what that, if they don't want to, like, work with me, it's fine, because I'll find other people to work with.
See, that's a very good comment, because, again, it talks about being able to stick to your beliefs. Now, Papa, for you, the question I want to ask you on the subject that we were talking about is, do you really think there's a hypocrisy in Hollywood where, you know, they want people to be naked or they want people to be a certain way, but then if the movie doesn't do that well, they switch it around and say, well, the reason this person isn't working because they did take their clothes off or because they did X, Y, and Z?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know everyone in Hollywood's mindset. I can't speak for them, but I do know that people will easily wash their hands of it if it doesn't, make them appear to have come out on top on the deal. I think that people throw people under the bus, basically, when things fail in Hollywood. I think that there is a degree of shadyism or, you know, that type of thing when it isn't successful. And then when it is, everyone says, well, everyone, let's do that because that was successful. So really what you have is, you know, you have to just kind of be true to you. You know, there are some compromises, and you do have to be willing to stretch yourself in your artistry. But I think that being true to yourself keeps you from being swayed from this end and that end, you know, when people decide that you either are or you aren't. You have to kind of be balanced within because, you know, we all know the industry will chew you up and spit you out if you don't know who you are.
That's very true. It reminds me when I was a little kid, people saying that if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And, I mean, I just like the fact that you guys are so right about it and that you guys have figured out what it is you want to do and to be able to stick to that irregardless of what other people think or say. And on that note, I have to tell you guys, I cannot believe the 2 hours just flew by like that. Real quick, Papa, will you please... tell everybody your website, how they can get a hold of you, and any shout-outs that you might have.
Absolutely. The website is www.papasoullive.com, PapasoulLive.com, two L's. And I really want to just thank you guys. I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoyed everyone's input. I enjoyed sharing what I knew, and I really enjoyed learning from the conversation as well. And, Charlie, I really want to thank you for your support. It's always good to have a conversation with you. The time always flies because you got great conversation, and we have a great time. So I just want to thank
you. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to you, too. And also to let our listeners know, I am actually going to get Papa back in on the show. I want to get a whole segment with him because he is such an interesting man, has so many things to share, and I just absolutely love having him on the show. So thank you for stopping by and calling us, and I'm so glad you could be here for us for the new year. Shelly, any way people can reach you? What are some of the projects you're going to be doing?
Well, like it says, inventory, it was submitted to the Sundance Film Festival. Little Goddesses with Z. With Unicovia Pitches is just getting finished up. They just have to finish editing, and we will be doing Falcare. And I'll be working again with Laz, and you know I'm always willing to work with Jackie. If he happens to hear this at all, Jackie Chan Kong Kang.
I have so long ago he's listening to you.
I don't know if he's listening, but if he ever hears this or anything like that, I want to say in Chinese, Happy Chinese New Year to him. Jackie Chan Kong Kang, Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much. Crosby, where can people reach you, get more information on you, projects coming up?
Well, you guys can definitely log on to www.triceptus.com. Check out our new website. It's www.triceptus.com. We actually got an online store going on where you can actually buy our album, Laz and Cat Tri-City Volume 1, on iTunes, Amazon, eMusic, Rhapsody, everywhere that you got going on. And our latest projects will also be listed on our website, so triceptus.com is where it's at, baby.
Awesome. I love it. So for all our listeners, thank you so much for listening. And, of course, I'm going to leave us out with this song, which is one of everybody's favorites, and it's in honor of my boy Mark Wahlberg and, of course, my girl Shelly. This is The Fighter, and we're going to leave to that. I have yes, I know. She loves this song. So we're going to play The Fighter, and everybody have a happy new year, and we look forward to hearing from you. And like my girl Smile says, nothing is impossible to the willing heart. So have a great day, guys, and don't ever let anybody steal your dreams away. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. I'm a wolf.